WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're positively taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road for the spring. Got an opening day, man. We're going to be up at the Hollywood Casino enjoying ourselves at Barstool Sports for the away opener against the Red Sox. And then, of course, at home next week. On the 5th, we'll be at Costas giving away the Maryland Lottery instant scratch-off tickets in conjunction with our friends at Window Nation, putting the Crab Cake Tour back out on the road, heading for some oysters this summer. On Friday, we'll be at Fadley's on the 7th, enjoying the opening of the CFG Bank Arena with the opening of Bruce Springsteen and the Eagles in our new arena here. And this guy's got stuff going on the other coast, although he spent plenty of time on this coast and at College Park. We always like to give him a chance to talk about his lights out extreme fighting promotion. It's available on Fubo. By the way, it's not for a few weeks out, but I thought maybe a good time to have Sean Merriman on right now. I thought the Lady Terps were going to bring it to the fore here. I mean, I know you did, and you know, the men gave it a nice run. I know for all of you from College Park, Sean, you like to puff out your chest, say, he a Terp, I'm a Terp. Feels better when there's some success going on right now, and it really is across all the sports down there.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And big shout out to the women's basketball team. I was so proud of them. I know they fell short to South Carolina, but the season they had, and, you know, I think they only lost six, seven games, something like that. I'm just so proud of them, just the energy that they brought, how they came together during the season, and just them being consistent, man, and really proud of them. Also, the men's basketball team, man. I came into Maryland when it was a time where, you know, that where they just came off of that championship in 02, and so the buzz was there, even walking in, and we were just coming around in football, but the basketball buzz was there, and that kind of gave us a notoriety. So as we seen on the football side, we're like, okay, they're out there winning championships, they're winning games, we got to go win too. I think that's where the University of Maryland is getting back to. They're getting back to winning, and they're winning, just being a winning school, a powerhouse. It hasn't been like that in football and basketball for a long time, but I think these next upcoming years, football and basketball, the school will be back on the map as a great sports program.
Yeah, I give Bisciotti a hard time around here about a lot of things and owning the team, but he said to me, he said to many people 20 years ago, he bought the Ravens because he got rich and couldn't buy the Terps. And now the NIL, it has made it so that if Merriman hits it big with this fighting thing and becomes a billionaire, you know, you can fund your university. I mean, it's changed everything here over 20 years. But I was going to ask you about this. I mean, you could talk NIL if you want, but Brent DeFries and that program, the one thing I always remember is being a media guy, being down there, and this is back in the days of Cole. I saw Gary Williams give a speech last week at this great Connects networking event here in Baltimore, that the athletes always support, even the cheerleaders, just everybody. It's a college, right? You're a football player, but you knew the lacrosse guys. You knew some of the ladies that played ball. You saw other athletes, soccer players, whatever. But there was a group of support. To have somebody like Brenda still be around, right? Like, I mean, all these years later, the women's program was maniacal when you were on campus and the Virginia feud and all the things. I mean, there was definitely this women's pro. It's not new to Maryland. This was going on when you were there for the women's basketball side.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Brenda Free is one of my favorite people in the world. She truly is. And just go back to the adding on to the point where you said it was crazy because the football team hung out with the basketball team, the track team, the field hockey team, the wrestling team. We all knew each other. And we also spent a lot of time on campus together. And it was great because I always say this, winning breeds winning. And it was always competition going on where we always wanted to be the best. I mean, even I had friends on a baseball team across the board that I even still talk to now to this day. And so it's just getting back to that level of a program when we were dominant. And we were dominant not just in football. We were dominant in basketball. We were dominant. You know, we were winning games in baseball. Our track and field was top notch. Lacrosse, obviously, is always going to be up there where they're going to be mentioned with the best. And so we're getting back to that level of dominance that the University of Maryland, our Terps, are accustomed to.
Man, you're talking about it like, you know, it's you're still there. And I guess you wouldn't have been a transfer portal guy, right? You know, they didn't have to bring you the next bag of money to go over here. You would have had to sit out. For your children, it's a different experience. I think as a fan, as a media member, I'm trying to understand it and figure out how it fits in. And it really is nice when you win. And just this Final Four, having San Diego State, having Florida, I mean, the nature of collegiate sports has changed dramatically.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And just speaking of the NILs, I think the NILs are great. I think they're great for college sports in general. I think a lot of those guys deserve to make money off of their name. But me, I'm from Prince George's County. You couldn't buy me out of my backyard and my home. It's just not going to happen. Alabama, Florida State, Miami, you name it. They couldn't even load up enough trucks to get me out. That's my home. That's where I became a young man. That's my family is. You couldn't buy me out of where I grew up. It just wasn't what happened. That, then again, that's me. So even though I think it's great that you need the NIL program needs to happen, I just wish these guys, and I'm not talking about loyalty. Loyalty, you know, it comes with a certain price and situation and all that stuff.
Yeah, we're going to talk Lamar Jackson in a minute after we talk the fights.
Oh, yeah, we can really talk loyalty then. So, you know, the NIL program is great. I know that I've been working with University of Maryland and Coach Mike Loxley and helping them get some stuff going there on the NIL program. But that's my home. You can't buy me out of my home, but it's never going to happen.
And look at you out on the West Coast. You know, you go out there, you run around with the Bolts out there. Next thing you know, you're putting together this. I mean, everybody knows Lights Out is your brand. And we can certainly talk about your coat drive down to College Park, which we've done before. It's not the season, but it's always the season to be doing something good. But, I mean, you've gone into business here. And I don't want to say competing with Dana White. I mean, I'm an entrepreneur 30 years, competing with FM radio, competing with, you know, Ravens.com now that didn't exist 15 years ago. Tell me about the entrepreneur side of this and let people in on your passion for this. To make it a business and give people a chance. And listen, it's controversial. From anything that involves head injury, I'm always for. I wouldn't recommend that my child do this, but I do respect what all of you are doing. And Johnny Rollo used to run in here 20 years ago at NST talking about the future of what mixed martial arts was going to be.
Yeah, no question about it. We have a huge event. Lights Out Extreme Fighting is my MMA company, my MMA league. We have a huge event coming up May 6th in Los Angeles in Burbank, California. If you can't get there, obviously, you guys on the East Coast back at home, you can watch on Fubo Sports, Fubo TV. If you don't have it, get it. This is going to be a big one because a lot of these guys are the next up-and-coming stars of the sport. And there's no doubt about it, the growth of MMA over the last 15 years. Not only is it big in the country here, but it's globally. Our last fight that we had was shown in Canada, France, and some parts of Spain. We also broke into the top 10 most watched on Fubo Sports ever. Our last fight we had January 14th. So a big part of that is being able to come on here and have, you know, your listeners and people to tune into you every day to go out and watch. I'm still home. I'm still homegrown. So they come out and support. The numbers told me that people come out and support. So I really appreciate that. But yeah, it's no doubt about it. I found my niche in my home and being able to be in combat sports to promote these next up and coming fighters. And I'll say this, as big as MMA is, the combat sports is, the biggest sport in this country and will forever be the biggest sport, is football. We love football here, and I've been fortunate to have a built-in platform where people know me as doing that. So nothing in this game, in this business is easy, but it made it easier for me to make that transition to promote some of these up-and-coming fighters that are trying to find their way in the sport.
I'm trying to figure this out, so educate me. And again, when it comes on the screen, it's just over the edge violent for me, right? So, but for the promotions themselves and how it feeds into Dana White or the top or being a champion or John Bones Jones, who's been in my studio and his brother played on the Ravens, and the whole deal. But for what you're doing at the level you're doing it at and doing it mainly on the West Coast, right? Where are the fighters coming from? And for you, I think a lot of it begins with having a gym, right? And having sort of let's train and then let's put on a show and let's make money and let's turn this into a business.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Fortunately also I was training during the off season while I was playing. So a lot of these guys know me from being in the gym as well. And the good part about me being in this position is I'll go and I'll jump into a guy's fight camp for a couple of days just to train and stay disciplined. I love the sport. I know that.
Did you box as a kid or wrestle as a kid?
I did. I boxed. Yeah, I had a family members who were professional boxers. Growing up in the DMV area, we had a bunch of champions.
Listen, I covered sports as a reporter in the late 80s. Reggie Gross and Sugar Ray. I mean, every kid in my neighborhood wanted to be Sugar Ray Leonard in 1981. Right. Who didn't, right? Local kid, right? Literally.
Yeah, and that's what I did. I grew up boxing. And I found my niche in training MMA because it was going to help me in football. So I did that. And coincidentally, I end up falling in love with the sport. And being on the talent side for so long, being in TV, I was at NFL Network and Fox Sports and ESPN. I understood how TV works, production, you know, getting in and out of shows, viewership, how satellite trucks and feeds and all that. I mean, I learned that at an early age. So it was easy for me to transition into what I'm doing. And now it's about promoting and getting some of these guys that are up and coming, that they're trying to get on the map. They're trying to be the next John Jones, like you said, trying to be the next Conor McGregor, trying to be the next Ronda Rousey or Holly Holmes, you know, right? So you grow these guys, you get them some eyeballs, you build them up, and then let the cards fall where they lay. I mean, we obviously know that there's bigger promotions and leagues out there, but I'm happy that everybody wants to come and fight in Lights Out Extreme Fighting before they make a decision going anywhere else.
LightsOutXF.com. And of course, I'll add on Fubo. Tell me about Fubo a little bit and about the partnership and what you're doing there and what's going to happen on May 6th. If people want to tune in to be a part of this and you know, maybe put it on the screen in their sports bar or whatever, we have an audience like that. And there really is a nice built-in audience in this DMV area. And I mentioned John Rallo and what he's done with Shogun. I'm assuming there's a lot of promotions like wrestling was when I was a kid. They're regional promotions, which is where McMahon started, which is where all of the boxing federations and all of that, that this is still very much in its infancy as a business, much like Coke and Pepsi were competing with 100 other colas 100 years ago. I watched that documentary recently. But you're West Coast. Are you L.A., San Diego, Vegas? Where are you really? Where's the home base for you right now,
Sean? All those, really. I mean, our next fight is in L.A. We're looking at Prim, which is a little bit outside of Las Vegas right after this. Then we'll be in San Diego sometime at the end of July, early August. You know, but my ultimate goal is obviously to have a fight out there in Maryland. You know, I've been in talk with the MGM out there in Maryland to put on a great show there. That's more of a passion and a feel-good thing for me, right? I get a chance to come home to something I built into this, you know, this startup, but also a mega monster because we have a partnership like Fubo, right? I mean, you can watch us anywhere in most parts of the world. And for me, that means a lot because I built it. It's been funded by me. It's been promoted by me. It's been, you know, constructed production wise and operations and TV deals and venues and casinos, you name it, I've done it. And so I'm very proud of that. I take a lot of pride into this. And then to bring it back in my hometown where I grew up at is going to be one of the ultimate goals that we do.
You're playing in a room where I saw Stevie Wonder and Bruno Mars. That's a good room down there at MGM, and they got all the good food down there. We'll make the move down there. LightsOutXF.com. Sean Merriman. He a Terp as for life. It's impossible to tell me it's lacrosse season on Monday morning because it's always a season going on. Dude, this Lamar thing, I mean, like, I had you on, 6 months ago or whatever, and we were talking about football and injuries and can he win a Super Bowl. Now it's how do you navigate this? From your perspective, what would your life have looked like without an agent if you were a quarterback in his position? Where are you on the agent side, and where are you on the union side and collusion side? Because you played this game, Sean. You went out into the market and, you know, probably thought you were worth more. We all think we're worth more than we are what we're worth or what we're going to get. But this has turned really, really sort of rancid in a way that's not healthy for the organization, not healthy for the young man right now. It's the biggest story. It's the biggest story. 31 years I've been doing this. I don't know that I've had any electricity with a story in this market like this one.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because you know, we do have a common friend and Steve Bisciotti, and you know, I respect him tremendously, knowing him for a very long time. And it's unfortunate because Lamar is a great player, right? And we know what he deserved. Anybody with eyes has just followed his career over the last several years. We know exactly what he's done, what he's capable of doing, how much he means to the organization. We know he deserves more than Kyler Murray. We know he deserves more than Dak Prescott. We know he deserves more than Deshaun Watson. And so that's not the issue here. It's how he's going about it is the problem. He doesn't have an agent. An agent is brings a relationship type of situation to not only the organization, that organization with the Ravens, but all organizations. And if the Ravens aren't going to pay him, an agent can step in and say, you know what, let me facilitate another deal because I have the relationships with other organizations and GMs. That's the issue that's going on here. And there's no problem if they don't want to step up to the plate and pay him. That's a part of the business. But a good agent can work something out where he can make a move and he can make the best move for Lamar and also make a good deal for the organization to get something. Now, it's unfortunate that he's come out and said that, hey, I requested a trade on March 2nd. That doesn't help Lamar Jackson. That doesn't help the organization, because now it just devalues what they possibly could get for him on the open market, because now he's been vocal about leaving. I wish that something else happened before then. I wish he got traded or paid before this time has come.
You were to give him advice, what would you give him? You tell him to get an agent?
100%. No doubt about it. There's no shot at his family. I'm sure that they're putting their best foot forward and doing whatever they can to get him in the best situation. But once you see a deal can't be made in your current situation, what you got to do is bring the best agent that you have confidence in that can go out and get the best deal for you possible. And if that's not with the Ravens, it can be with somebody else. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Sean Merriman is here. He is Lights Out XF and ready to put the fights on Fubo on May 6th. You can follow his journey out on the social media channels, and we'll get you back here. You got the coach drive date yet? You figured that one out yet? You got to get a schedule for that.
We're going to shoot for the first week of November if we can. Working it out with the program now and see if we can get that date locked in. But I would like to start it a little bit earlier this year, and then get back there and start getting more people in the area, some bigger businesses, some other organizations involved, and make this the biggest one. I mean, I just had my 20th anniversary, which I still can't really wrap my head around. So we got to make this 21st the biggest one yet.
All right, man. Well, I'll get you a crab cake in the great state of Maryland when you get back here. We'll bring you out for the crab cake tour. Always good to visit with you, man. Appreciate you spending time with us, talking some Maryland basketball. At some point, it'll be Maryland football season here again soon. So, but it's nothing but Lamar here. I mean, there's no opening day. There's just Lamar. There's no lacrosse. Just Lamar. So until we figure that out, we're not sleeping here, dude.
Yeah, you shouldn't. It is the biggest talk in sports right now, not just in football, but in sports, because he's that much of a dynamic player. He means that much to that organization. He means that much of football. So he should be the talk of the town until that situation is figured out.
You got Steve Bisciotti on the bat phone there. You go work that out. Lights out, Fubo. It's May 6th. Sean Merriman, always a great visitor here for the Terps. Make sure you're putting those coats together here in the spring. You're doing the clean and hold it up, and we'll do them for a good cause in the fall. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. I swear we're going to talk baseball at some point around here. We never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.